Well, good evening again. It's good to see you all out tonight. Why don't we open up once again in a word of prayer before we begin? Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once again, and we would give Thee great thanks for the honor and the privilege that is ours to open up Thy Word this evening and to look into the pages of Thy Scriptures, Father. And we ask that we would hear Thy voice tonight, Lord, that You would speak to each and every one of us, Lord. You know the needs of our hearts, our lives, Father. We pray that Thou would help us, Father, through the difficult times, and help us to praise Thee during the times of trial and the times of great victory, Father. We just do ask that You would encourage us, Father, in the work that is ahead, Father, not only in our personal lives, but in our neighborhoods with our family members and friends, our co-workers and schoolmates. And Father, we think of the works that will be going on here, even in this assembly and in this community. Father, we thank Thee for the great work that Thou hast commissioned us to do, and we thank Thee, Father, for the times like these when we can gather together in Thy name, we can sit around Thy Word and be refreshed, Father, from Thee. And so, Father, we pray that Thou would teach us again something of Thyself, Father, that we might be able to go forth and to do Thy work with all diligence and zeal, Father. And so we ask Your blessing on this time this evening in Your Son's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Numbers 15, the book of Numbers, chapter 15. And I know that many of you were not here last week and this morning. And so if I jump right into the last part of my message, which I didn't quite finish this morning, it might be a little out of joint. So bear with me. We're going to do some recapping. And the reason is, I think, so we can see the continuity of the message, because it certainly is a full two-part message. The last part of what we were going to discuss this morning, which we ran out of time doing, we've been talking about the Sabbath. And last week we looked primarily into the Old Testament and all of the writings that we have from the book of Genesis all the way into Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And we were looking at this idea of what it meant to cease and desist, to take a day and set it aside from all of the other days because it's different. Because our God who is holy, our God who created everything around us, institutionalized one day because it was a day that He took to rest from all the work that He had done. And it said that He not only blessed it, but He sanctified it. He set it apart. It was certainly different from all of the other days because all of the other days He was doing something. He was working and He was creating this wonderful world that we live in, all the planets and the sky and the heavens and the animals and everything that, I mean, sometimes if we just sit down and take a moment to think about what He has done, it's a marvelous thing. Even if we look at our own bodies, how we have been wrought. And our God is so wonderful to then take one day and say, because I've rested, I want you to do the same. I want you to take a day so that it can look different and be different from all of the other days. It's going to be a holy day to you, a holy convocation. It will be set apart. You will be a nation of people, to the children of Israel, He was speaking, that you will look different. You will be different from them. You're going to act differently, and everything you do is going to be different. And isn't that the mark of the Christian as we walk around this ball, this earth, as we go about our daily lives? Now, some days we blend in very well. We're like chameleons. We can just blend in with this group and blend in with that group. And I know, I've done it. But oftentimes we are so convicted to the point that it's impossible to hide what we are. And it kind of spills out here and there. And people from time to time get to see what we're really about. Or hear what we're all about. Because what we have is something that is so different from what's around us. It's very different from what society teaches and preaches. Because there is a common theme, if you will, to our society, to our world that we live in. You know, you hear all the time, well, do what feels good. Go with what your heart says, you know? And these are the things that the Lord has specifically told us are not things that we should do, because he talks about how evil our heart is. It's wicked, it's deceitful, right? And our minds are corrupt, and our flesh, there's nothing good in our flesh. So why should we listen and heed the world's advice when it comes to going about our daily business and acting as human beings on this earth, when the Lord has said, this is what you're supposed to look like? And when you do, you're going to be different from everybody else. You're going to stand out like a sore thumb. And before long, people are going to want to know. They're going to want to ask. Now, sometimes you won't always get the feedback that you'd like to get. Sometimes you might not always get the pleasant dialogue that you were hoping to have with that unbeliever. Sometimes there will be remarks made or even physical contact. I mean, we know from the scriptures that it can get very bloody being a Christian. And this is part of what this theme of this message is all about, this Sabbath, this being different, being set aside for the Lord, for his work, is that there will be struggles, there will be hardships, there will be times of testing. And as the Lord Jesus walked with his disciples, he would say to them, if you're going to look like me, if you want to be like me, if you want to know what it means to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, you're going to understand. You're going to start to learn what it means to take up your cross and to die daily, as Paul would put it. Numbers chapter 15 was our theme verse from last week, and it's very important. I didn't read it this morning, but I would like to read it now. Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a band, a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And this was our opening verse from last week. And the reason this verse is so beautiful is it gives us this description of something that they were to perform upon their garments. It was something, a physical representation that they were to look at, and it was to remind them of something. And as we've talked about last week and this morning, we can go all through the Old Testament and New and see so many reminders. We're human beings, and we are so prone to wander, right? As the hymn puts it, we're so prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And if we thought for a moment, we might say, well, how could we ever forget the things that the Lord has done for us? Let me ask you about 10 things the Lord did for you last year. Name them. Can you think of them right off the top of your head right now from 2007? 10 things. Now, some of you could stand up here and probably rattle off 50. And some of us might struggle a little bit and say, well, okay, hold on here. Let me think for a minute. Because we are prone to forget. And all through the Old Testament, the Lord was commanding the people to write things down, to rehearse them into the ears of the children. And isn't it so important? And I'm so thankful for families in this assembly that have raised their children under the sound of the word, that has made the reading of the scriptures in the homes important, daily important. And so here they are, being told that it is important to remember certain things because you're going to forget them. And we could say again, well, how could we ever forget that the Lord died for us on the cross? Well, we are human. We are prone. And you stay away from this remembrance feast long enough, and you might forget. You might start to not remember what the Sunday morning, the Lord's Day is for. Now, hopefully not, hopefully never, but all through the Old Testament, you have these tokens, these signs these symbols that pointed to him and his work and what he was doing amongst them. How he was outstretching his powerful right arm to save them out of the floodwaters of the Red Sea. And saving them from the armies of the Egyptians. And taking them through the wilderness. And giving them water in a dry and thirsty land. And feeding them from heaven. And leading them with all kinds of signs and wonders in the sky. Giving to them, imparting to them the Ten Commandments. On all the many, many symbols that we have. And these fringes were very important to them. Because they were to look upon them. And when they saw that blue, they were reminded, of his perfection, of his completeness. When they were to look at those blue fringes, it was to represent the Lord himself when they were to look upon them. And that thing that he said, I want you to be holy for I am holy. This Sabbath day is for you to remember. I have made a covenant with you, and I want you to remember this for all times. And so we have here in the Old Testament this very important aspect of something physical that was imparted to them. And we read this morning from the book of from the book of Luke and Matthew, and we were reading about in Matthew 23 how the Pharisees, in their hypocrisy, took that very symbol of the fringes on the borders of their garment, and they perverted it. It says that the Lord spoke against them by saying, you've enlarged the borders of your garments. You've enlarged your fringes. You see, because they wanted to be different in that they wanted people to look at them and say, wow, his borders, the borders of his fringes are larger than all the others. He must be more holy. He must be more learned. He must be so much closer to God than we are. And here in doing so, they were drawing attention to themselves and not pointing the attention to the Lord himself. Well, the Lord was amongst them and they had no idea. They were looking at the one who had given them those institutions, those tokens, those signs, those covenants. All through the Old Testament, there he was standing right in front of them. They never knew it. They never knew it. And so we looked at some of these cases, these instances, this morning in the New Testament. And going back to the Old Testament, we define that the Sabbath day was a day of to desist and cease, or cease and desist. In Genesis, we read that he rested on the seventh day, he blessed it, and he sanctified it. We went into Exodus last week and looked how God commanded his people to keep this day holy, to set it apart from all the other days. It was a holy convocation, which also means to be calling together. There was a calling together, and it fits so beautifully into what we do now, because there is a day during the week for us that is set aside from all the other days. And people look at us and we're different. Because many of your neighbors say, what are they doing getting all dressed up? They get in their cars early in the morning and off they go and they're gone for half the day. And then they come back with these smiles on their faces, and what are they so happy about? Well, we've got a lot to be happy about, because our Lord died, was buried, and rose again. And that first day of the week was that day he rose again. And that's where we left off today, this morning. And we're going to get into that in the next few minutes. And so there's a lot in regards to the Sabbath and the Passover and when the Lord died and how all of those time frames fit together, because there was something very special going on. And the point of it, before we start looking at all these little aspects, the point of the whole thing was that there was a new testament. There was a new covenant being established through a physical thing. It was here, people saw it, and it represented something. And it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that actually poured from his body that represented a new covenant, because it was in his blood. Because when we go all the way back to the Old Testament, to the offerings, to the tabernacle and the temple, all the blood of the bulls and goats that was to be shed, all the all of the rituals that were to be performed every little thing had to be performed just right, and it was only a covering for their sin. And now when we have the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God, come, he only has to offer his blood once for sins for all of eternity. And there it is. The end, as we read in Hebrews, that it is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it's starting to fade away, giving way to the new, founded in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we went through last week, the holy convocation, calling together, it is very similar, in fact, to what we do today. Although we don't recognize certain aspects, obviously, the children of Israel were commanded that if they were to do any work on the Sabbath day, it meant death. And so ritualistically, this was upheld for thousands of years. And when the Lord Jesus came, this presented a very big problem, because not only did the Pharisees and scribes hold very, very strictly and rigidly to this, on the other hand, they were also hypocrites, because they were doing the very thing that they were accusing other people of doing, and that was working on the Sabbath day. But at any rate, in the Old Testament, if they were to work, do any work, their lives were to be taken. But in a sense, where we're at today, we have a day that is separate. It's different from all the other days. And so in a sense, there's still some spiritual recognition of that Sabbath day in our lives personally. Why was it important? In Exodus 31, God commands Israel to keep his Sabbaths because it was, number one, it was a sign. It was a sign between him and his people throughout all of their generations. The second thing, that it was that they would know that he was the Lord who sanctified them. It wasn't any other pagan god. It wasn't any other religion or belief. It was he himself who was the one who set them apart and made them different from all the others. It was him and him alone. The third thing was, it would be holy unto you. And we talked about that, where the Lord says, "Be holy, for I am holy." That's not to say that we are supposed to be absolutely perfect like God is, because we cannot. We cannot attain to that. But what he's saying there is the word holy being set apart. If we use it in a similar sense to the word Sabbath being different, being set aside, set apart, he wants us to be different because he is. He wants us to be set apart from all the world. We know that we live in the world. We're not of it. We have to live in it, though. And that's what people should see when they look at us. And the fourth thing, he that works will die. As we went into Exodus 35, we see the descriptions of the 6 days of working to the seventh day of rest, and how it was a rest to the Lord. Deuteronomy 5, no work. And the word remember keeps coming up. Remember, remember, remember. And all the while the children of Israel are hearing this, it's beginning to become ingrained into their minds, this aspect, this lifestyle of keeping this Sabbath day. And how interesting that over the years, over time, it would become so perverted when the Lord himself came, what they were doing. What was its purpose? Again, it was to remember. Exodus 20, remember, remember, remember. So this morning, as we were going through the Sabbaths, we talked about three things. We talked about the Lord of the Sabbath, the healings on the Sabbath, and finally, the Last Supper. And so we'll approach the Last Supper in a few minutes. When we first started off, we looked at some scriptures in John. We talked about the Lord working works on the Sabbath day. And why is this so important that we hone in on this? Well, it was important because he didn't just do it once. He did it a number of times. There were a number of healings where we see the Lord coming and doing specific things on the Sabbath day. Now, why couldn't he chosen any other day of the week to do those healings? Well, there was a very specific purpose in all of it. And I think we could easily say that it was to convict the hearts of men. Because isn't that what really the work of the Holy Spirit is? Isn't that the work of God, that man would be convicted of their state, to actually see that they are so far from God, when maybe they think they're so close to God? especially these men here who knew the law, who upheld the law strictly and rigidly and would die for that law, but yet they were so far from the gates of heaven. And so we looked at the first mentionings of this in the book of Luke chapter 4, where we find the Lord reading and teaching on the Sabbath day. So to start off this ministry of the Sabbath, if you will, we find him first teaching and reading. We find him first reading and teaching on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. And so certainly the scribes and Pharisees found no fault there, but if they were actually listening to what he was saying, maybe it would have helped them further down the line in their accusations against him. Now, as we come to Luke chapter 6, we come to the point where he is now doing things on the Sabbath day that the scribes and the Pharisees are looking at and saying, that is not lawful to do. It was okay that you were in the synagogue and teaching the scriptures and reading the scriptures, but now that you are working on the Sabbath, we can't have that. And so let's look just briefly at that in Luke chapter 6 once again. I know we read it this morning, but Luke chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as what David did when he himself was hungered, how God did take and eat the showbread, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now it's very interesting because here he is doing something that they quickly condemned him for. Now what were their grounds? What was it that was so unlawful about picking this, plucking the ears of corn and rubbing them in their hands? To them this was a form of work. Everything that the Lord was doing, I would beg to differ and say it was all lawful, because here at the end of this, and if they were listening again, they wouldn't have gotten into further trouble in the next part of this. Because he says, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Don't you know who you're talking to? I'm the one that instituted this day. Do you think if it was, do you not see who is here in front of you? I'm here. The fringes that were pointing you to me, here I am. The fringes on your borders that are so big and enlarged, and all you can think about is the spending more money on the deeper colors of blue and making the fringes bigger so everybody can see how great you are. Don't you understand that here I am? I'm here now with you. The Son of Man is here. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so we see here the Lord of the Sabbath in Luke chapter 6. He is the Lord of the Sabbath day. And there was nothing wrong with this, the eating of the corn. I mean, is it unlawful to eat on the Sabbath day? They simply saw him, doing something they didn't like. The second part of the message this morning was healing on the Sabbath. And we read through many of these, and we left out one. And it was interesting because in Luke chapter 13, if you want to turn there briefly, this is the one we left out. We talked about the very next one in chapter 6, which starts at verse 6, the man with the withered hand, and how he was healed, and how they sought to slay him because they felt he was doing a work. And he addressed them and said, well, is it lawful to help, to do good, or to do evil? You answer me that. What is lawful, to do good or evil? To save a life or to kill a life? And then we read in Luke chapter 14, the man with the dropsy. Again, a man being healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to them, who of you would not save your livestock from danger? And here in Luke chapter 13, we read, starting at verse 10, And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Interesting here. He uses something so convicting, isn't it? I believe he did these on the Sabbath day to convict them. There was nothing wrong with what the Lord was doing. He was the Sabbath. He was there in front of them. They should have been there doing whatever he told them to do. And here they are saying, there are 6 days. You can't do it on one of the six. You have to come do it on our Sabbath. What's wrong with you? And he says, well, you hypocrites, I have loosed this woman from an evil spirit, from the spirit of infirmity, and yet you'll go home and you'll loose your cattle to go out and lead them to pasture and lead them to water. So you tell me the difference. Some of the other readings we read from this morning, they couldn't say anything when he started bringing up the things they said. You know, when he talked to them about helping their livestock. Eh? If your livestock was there in a ditch and it was going to die, wouldn't you pull it out? He knew they did. He knew they had done it. They didn't say a word. Their mouths were stopped. And so we had these things that the Lord was doing on the Sabbath day. You know, he knew the hearts of these people. He knew the hearts of the man with the withered hand, the one that was lowered through the roof, the woman with the infirmity, the woman with the issue of blood, the man who needed his sight at the pool of Bethesda, all these people that had the need, and they knew who could fulfill that need. And it was the religious leaders that had no idea that the one in front of them was the one who could fulfill their deepest need, the need of their salvation. Now, with the remaining 5 minutes, I'd like to look at the Last Supper. And if we would turn to a verse here in Luke chapter 22. There are many verses that we talked about here, and I I was confident this morning, and it was interesting that we ran out of time, because on the ride home, Kevin and I got into we've been discussing this issue for a couple of weeks, and Kevin's been studying this out, and my father had preached a message on it. And the issue is where the timeline falls. And so if a brother has the exact timeline, and it makes sense, we'd love to hear it. But at any rate, I was trying to figure this out a couple of years ago in regards to when the Lord Jesus actually died. Was it on the Sabbath day? Was it before the Sabbath day? Did the Sabbath day fall on the Passover? And in our readings and in some of the scriptures that we've put together, there is a lot of compelling scripture in the book of John regarding where the Passover falls in regards to when Jesus was eating. Because I think commonly we've believed that, or know that the Lord was eating, going to eat this Passover with his disciples. But there are a few things that we think about as we're reading these things, such as, well, the bread and the wine. Where was the Passover lamb? Where was the unleavened bread? Where were all of the rituals that would go on during this time? Where was the cleansing of the house? We read in all of these Gospels the preparation, the preparation, the preparation. There's much preparation going on here. Where I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you that this is where the Lord died on this specific day. But I think if we think in terms of the timeline, let's know this, that the Sabbath day from Genesis was the seventh day, right? 6 days, seventh day of the week. And this might be where the connection is. I was just thinking about this before I came up. It's only conjecture. I apologize if it doesn't make any sense. But and Kevin did mention this, the month Abib, when the Passover was held, that was celebrated on the 14th day of the month. So quite possibly the seventh day of the week and the 14th day of the month may not fall, because I was of the mind that the Passover and the Sabbath were on the exact same day. Now, maybe they were, but maybe not. We'd have to really look at our Jewish calendars for that. But at any rate, let's look at Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So certainly here we have evidence that the Lord is eating a Passover. There is also school of thought that I was talking to my dad about, that this may not be the Jewish Passover. This is because certainly here there is a new institution going on, is there not? We have here the bread and the wine. Now let's look at a couple of others. And again, this is one I mentioned this morning in Luke 23. Go over a page or two to Luke 23 and verse 55. Luke 23, 55. Now let's go back a couple more to 53. And he took it down, the body of Jesus this is, and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So here comes to play now the Sabbath day. And this is where I want to kind of end here. There are a few more verses we could look at in the book of John. We don't have time, but there are more verses. If you look at the accounts in John, there are words. I'm just going to mention some of them real quickly so we get the idea of what's going on here. Some of these verses in John. John chapter 18, verse 28. When they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Okay, so this is after the judgment, or this is before the judgment. The Lord is in custody at this point. Okay, John 19. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha, and it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. Interesting. John 19:31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. So there's the Sabbath day. So maybe these 2 days do not coincide. For that Sabbath day was an high day. And so Pilate sought that their legs might be broken. And so finally, I'd like to end with just this final thought regarding the Sabbath. Here we have the Lord Jesus at the end of his life, right before this Sabbath day, this day that was going to be different from all the other days. It was certainly different, wasn't it? I mean, the earth, the world was changed forever. And there he is going into the grave. 3 days we know in the grave. And on that first day of the week, he rose again. And therein was fulfilled all that God had planned for the world from the beginning of time. so that we, you and I, today, here, can be different. We can be set aside. We can be different. And so let's just close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words that thou hast given us in thy book, and we pray that although sometimes, Father, we struggle with timelines and meanings, and Father, we thank thee for the simplicity also, Father. We thank thee, Father, for the glorious gospel and what your Son means to us in our lives and how we have these physical representations, these emblems that we can look at every week, and they point our eyes and our hearts and our minds upward as we look upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to have a renewed zeal, a renewed fervor every day to go forth and to preach your word and to tell others about how they can be different, how they can be set apart, how they can be changed for all of eternity. So, Father, we give thee thanks for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thee thanks. Amen.